Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We're continuing our series on marriage from a retreat that I did for Church of the Apostles in Atlanta, Georgia. I hope that you're being encouraged. If you didn't hear the first episodes, you want to go back on the website and listen. Here's the thing. The fact that you understand someone else's position well enough to persuasively present it to others does not mean that you agree with them. So the fact that someone disagrees with you, like, oh, let's say your spouse, doesn't mean necessarily that they don't understand you. Do you understand me? That's very important because we want to be understood, and sometimes we are, but we want more than to be understood. We want to be in control. We need to understand ourselves too. We need to understand what's really going on. Are you just wanting to be understood, or are you wanting to be in control? Because if you're wanting to be in control, it's a fool's errand, whether you're the husband or the wife. God's in control. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Thank you. So the fact that someone understands me does not mean that I'll be allowed what I want. Look at Ephesians 4, 25 through 32, and you have some wonderful words from God about communication. Because communication is a very essential aspect of being understood. Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 25, I'm going to read through verse 32. "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." I think we've heard that before. "He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Now, if you look at that, God is telling us we've got to be honest. Each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. That is true even out there. It's certainly true within the body of Christ. It's certainly true in marriage. We've got to be truthful. If you want to ruin intimacy, let your spouse discover that you haven't been honest. Destroys trust. My wife and I talk with people about making deposits in the trust bank. Okay? The idea is that you are continuing to do those things and to speak those things that let that other person know that while you're not pretending to be perfect, you're not pretending to be perfect. Okay? You are honestly sharing with them, and what you say, they can take to the bank. Okay? If you say you're going to do something, you do it. So don't say you're going to do something unless it is within your power to make it happen. And James warns us that even when we're talking about going home this afternoon, we need to say, God willing. We believe we're going home. We intend to go home. God willing, we're going home. Right? We don't know what's going to happen. We're not in control of what's going to happen. We're in control, hopefully, of what we do. There are some things that we are given responsibility to control. Self-control is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. But we need to live with this reverence that says, ultimately, God's in control. God willing, we'll do this or do that, go here or go there. But don't say, oh, yes, I will, and then not do it. So be careful. Honesty is vital to trust, and it's vital to building intimacy through good communication. But honesty does not mean that we just say whatever comes to mind, okay? In other words, if something pops into my head, it does not have to pop out of my mouth. You know, well, I'm just being honest. You know, I'm sorry. A lot of people think I'm kind of, you know, crude, but I just, you know, I just say it like it is. You know, I'm, yeah, it's just the way I feel. You're not married, are you? You know, I used to be. You know, yeah, I can kind of picture that. We need to learn to speak the truth in love. Still being honest, but being honest in a way that is designed, let's see how it's described here. Only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs that it may benefit those who listen. Did you catch that? Only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs that it may benefit those who listen. Jesus said to his disciples, how many of you would agree that Jesus is honest? Jesus is truth. He's the embodiment of truth. But Jesus said to his disciples, in all honesty, I have much more to tell you, but right now you couldn't bear it. So when your child or your grandchild tells you about their fear, don't lie to them and say, you know, oh, there's nothing bad is going to happen to you. You don't want to see that proved false. What you can say to them honestly is you don't have to give in to fear. Because God is in control. And whatever happens, if you're trusting in Him, you're going to be okay. As they begin to grow, you can make it very, very plain to them, even death cannot harm us. My wife, in her 30s, was found to have some masses in her abdomen that looked really grim to the doctors in Knoxville. And because my brother was chief of surgery at Emory, the doctor in Knoxville said, I do this kind of surgery, but I'm not going to touch you because you're Bill Wood's sister-in-law. And so you need to reach out to your brother-in-law and tell him you need to see a doctor. So she came home and told me what the doctor had told her. And I called my brother, and the next day we were meeting with the chief of gynecological oncology at Emory. So we went down. And she brought her imaging from Knoxville, handed it to him. He said, we don't need that. We're going to do our own tests. And he said, but just relax. He said, you know, you may not even need surgery. And so she went back for the testing there at Emory. And he said to me, Jim, you can wait in my office, which is very nice. This is not the way they treated everyone. but my brother was his boss, so it was nice. I mean, they treated us like family. So I'm sitting in his office, and he has just looked at the results of the test, and he comes in and he sits down at his desk and he won't look at me, and he doesn't say a word to me. And that makes me extremely uncomfortable. And so I just sit there. And when Susan comes in to sit down, he looks up and he says, "We need to operate right away." Okay. So he said, "We don't know what we're going to find when we get in there, but we may have to make decisions about some other things. This is what we anticipate removing, but there may be other things that have to be taken out too, and it would be helpful if I don't have to come out from the OR and ask you for permission." And we said, "Take anything that you think ought to be removed. Just go for it. Help yourself. If you see anything else that might go bad later, take that too." Okay? Just, you know, if it's non-essential, pull it. Okay? My wife turned out to have 5 tumors, some of them substantial, 3 different kinds of tumors. None of them turned out to be cancer. The doctor was shocked. Okay? He's an oncologist. And looking at the imaging, it was like, this is cancer. In her case, it was not. What if it had been? What if it had been? I had open heart surgery to replace a valve, my aortic valve, and to repair an aortic aneurysm. I was 62 years old. The doctor said, "If mine blew, it's going to be the worst pain you've ever felt, and it'll be the last pain you'll ever feel." Well, that's dramatic. I'm glad to be here. But let me tell you, on the way to the hospital for the surgery, I was as calm as you described last night. It's like peace. And I said to Susan, a number of people asked, you know, are you nervous? I said, "No, not really." I said, "I know God is completely in control, and I know that I could die in a car wreck on the way to the hospital." You understand? When you know that God is in control, then whatever happens is okay. Because Corrie ten Boom used to say, there's never a panic in heaven. Okay? God doesn't say, "Oops." God doesn't say, oh, I should have thought of that. God's got it all under control. When I was a little kid, he's got the whole world in his hands. He still does. He still does. And that includes you. Not just your circumstances, but you, your marriage, your family, your finances, it's all fine. So you're saying nothing bad will happen to us? No, I'm saying whatever happens, if you're in Christ, you're going to be okay. Peter is in prison, and God sends an angel, opens the doors, leads him out. But James had already been killed at that point. Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, his face glowing like an angel. He was stoned to death. So bad things do, of course. But you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. So teach your children not that nothing bad is going to happen. Be honest with them. Tell them God's in control. And God loves you. And you can rest in him. Teach your kids to be brave. And don't lie to them, don't lie to your grandkids about things like Santa Claus. Okay? Communication should be honest. Don't lie to your spouse about Santa Claus. Just tell the truth. Okay? You don't want the people who love you to discover that you have not been being honest with them. So be honest. Well, it's like, no, I don't want them to discover that. Well, then be honest with them. Be honest with them. But be helpful. Does this dress make me look fat? First of all, ladies, don't ask such questions. Okay? Secondly, men, there's not a real good answer to that question. I'll give you my best try at it in a moment. But I mean, you could say something like yes, in which case the evening is ruined. Or you could say, yeah, I think maybe it is the dress making you look fat right now. Still not ideal. Okay? You could say, it's not the dress, honey. Still not a good answer. Okay? My best recommendation in that awkward moment is to say, I like that dress better. Years of marriage. You understand? Okay. You know, I don't think that's your best look. I think this dress is a better choice. Well, it's hard to be offended about that. Okay? Some people can manage, but it's hard. Honesty doesn't mean we say whatever comes to mind or that we tell everybody everything we know about everything. Okay? Being honest doesn't mean we just tell everybody everything. We're to speak the truth in love, and we need to avoid false accusations. You see, first of all, and again, I'm generalizing here, but women, let's say many women often seem to assume that men are supposed to be able to read their minds. Okay? We're terrible at that. Okay? We really are not good at figuring out what you're trying to communicate to us. The flip side of that is that many women often seem to assume that they can read our minds. And that if we said this, what we probably meant was that. Okay? And, I mean, now, one of the comedic manifestations of a similar trait, a related trait, is the thing Jeff Foxworthy did about, you know, he said this, and she's trying to get more information, and he doesn't have more information. Okay? Well, sometimes I say this and Susan's trying to figure out what I meant. And of course, I meant what I said. No more, no less, just that. That's not always true. Sometimes I stupidly will say things. I use an example in the book of saying, asking a question that has an underlying accusation in it. Honey, I noticed that my favorite ice cream that I bought just 2 days ago is now missing from the freezer. Do you have any idea what could have happened to it? Now, she is likely to perceive that as an accusation that she has done something like consume my favorite ice cream. Okay? I might similarly think that she's making an accusation if she says to me, have you stepped on the bathroom scale lately? See, I'm going to assume that's not just an academic question. You know, she just had a fleeting thought there. I wonder if he's been on the scale lately in the bathroom, because I had some questions about the scale and if he thinks it's working accurately, etc. No, probably I'm going to discern correctly that she was trying to gently suggest without mentioning specifically that she's concerned about my health. It's good that she's concerned about my health. And she wants me to step on the scale while that's still possible. Okay? If she follows it up with, well, you might want to while you can still see the numbers. Then I know, okay, I know what she meant. But here's the thing. You and I need to be careful that our assumptions are not the same thing as facts. Because if not, we're likely to make a false accusation and assume that if our imagined understanding is not right, this person's not being honest with us. And that's a false accusation. Sometimes we really do misunderstand each other. And sometimes we really are misunderstood. And so all of us bring, communication is not just about the words that are exchanged. Both of us have other stuff going on. We have a grid through which we see things and hear things. And in order for us to be understood, we need to be working on understanding the other person. So seek to avoid false accusations and understand that it is very painful when the person you love most misunderstands and then tries to accuse you of not being honest. Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now, I told you at the start of the retreat that Susan and I tell people the reason our marriage has been so good for so long is because we both have the same best friend. In this matter of being understood, nobody understands you like Jesus does. He understands you better than you understand you, much better than you understand you. He knows everything about you. He remembers stuff that about your background, your childhood, whatever. He remembers stuff that you don't. He understands the things that brought you to the point where you are. And I want you to understand that when you're having struggles communicating and being understood, you can go to Him and say, Lord, would you please mediate? Would you please help us to understand each other? Help me to understand my wife. Help her to understand me. Help us to communicate in a way that honors you. Help us to speak the truth in love. And when you do that, God's not going to say, I'm sorry, I'm busy running the universe. He is right there. And He wants your marriage to be a wonderful thing, your relationship to be a wonderful thing, for His glory and your good. He really does love you, and He wants to bless you in that relationship, but He also wants to do it in a way that honors Him. So don't think that you can't enlist Him or that you're going to be bothering Him if you go to Him and say, Lord, please help us reach an understanding here. And remember, being understood does not mean you're in control. Let him rule and reign.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.